September 28, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Warfiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talk, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Genesis 4:2-15, Cain and Abel. Hadith. Ink of a scholar more precious than the blood of a martyr. 1 Corinthians 3:2, milk said not meat, you not able to handle it. But what is the difference between their two sacrifices? One sacrifice was of the ground, his sacrifice was of the reed. The reed is a plant that grows straight up. Cain, that is where it gets its name. God didn't want his sacrifice. He wanted Abel's sacrifice. So what was Abel's sacrifice? Abel's sacrifice was sheep. Cain read material logic. So the reed that Cain reads, straight reed, represents material logic. Material logic following a straight course. It must be consistent. You establish a premise. The second premise must support the first premise. They must follow consistent, but it doesn't have body. Its purpose is not to give body. Its purpose is only to establish a discipline. It is a logic. Its purpose is to establish a great non-violating discipline. So the reed got a big opening in it. Cain, the reed, grew up with a big hole in them. So he offered that to God. God does not accept that offering. Why? Because he didn't make the first offering. The acceptable is the sheep. You didn't offer the sheep. You offered the Cain. Oh, I'm going to give something to God, wisdom. I got some great material wisdom. I'm going to give this to the world. This will make a great contribution to the world. The world, great material world, offer great logic. I'm going to give them material. God says, where is your sheep? You ain't got none. You take your reed and jam it. What does sheep represent? Sheep represents human. Sheep represents the human. The sheep is an animal that is in his attributes, and like the beauty of the human being. He is peaceful. He is not warlike. So this is the attribute that we love in the human being. We love to see human beings loving, not proud, social, warm nature. So this is the sheep. Allah wants you to have that first. If you want to give him something, give him that. Show Allah that you are human, that you are warm-hearted. Show him that you are sociable nature with other human beings. Show him that your greatest worth that you have, you are charitable with it. Sheep more wool than need charity. So the sheep is a warm-natured animal, but look, it grows more wool than it needs. so you can take his wool and put it on you. Sacrifice only the certain animals. So Quran Surah 22, Ayah 37, sacrifice your piety, not blood, which is God. So we are only allowed to sacrifice certain animals. So we can't sacrifice any animal in the Hajj, only certain animals, sheep, cows, cattle, goats. You can't go there with snakes and dogs and things like that. What is the meaning of sacrifice the sheep? If the sheep is so good, why do we sacrifice them? Actually, you don't understand the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrificing the sheep, you don't eat his blood. It is forbidden for us to eat his blood. His blood is supposed to be for according to Scripture. But God says, what you offer me, it doesn't come to me. What comes to me is your righteousness. He says that what you sacrifice to me on the altar doesn't come to me. So what is the meaning of this sacrificing of the sheep? It means that even that attribute in you must not be a selfish attribute. It must not be something in you for society. It must be something in you for Allah. Your human motivation should not be for society. It should be for Allah. Meat represents knowledge. So what should you give society? You give society the meat. What does that meat represent? It represents the knowledge, the motivation given it to Allah, the drive, the motivation, the ambition. Give it to Allah. Submit it to him. God, my will, my motivation, my ambitions are all for you. It is not for political power. It is not to humanize society. God, it is for you. You are the number one for everything that I do. You are number one. I can't put society before you. Wouldn't I be wrong to say that I am going to be human and humanitarian for society's sake? When Allah made me like this and put this nature in me and put it in you and made it possible for me to reach you with this nature, then why should I say I am being humanitarian for society's sake? I'm being humanitarian for Allah's sake. I am doing it to please Allah. Now I'm obligated to give you the knowledge. And the book says, oh, a lot of people in religion, they can't handle milk. Few know how to handle meat. Meat stands for the knowledge, the wisdom, and the sciences. Sacrifice for ambitions. So the sacrifice means that you gave your humanitarian motivation, your peaceful motivation, your peaceful ambition, like the sheep gives it for Allah's sake. So if you don't give it for Allah's sake, your humanitarianism will become a disease on society, artificial humanism. Having too many people led us to an artificial humanitarianism and over sheepish humanitarianism where they become really sheep for the wolves of the world, we must connect this with martyrdom. The highest contribution in jihad, martyrdom, what is the meaning of that? It is a sacrifice. Look at what Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said. The ink of a scholar is more precious than the blood of a martyr. That is a hadith that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, has said. Sacrifice your knowledge to common man. Just to make sacrifice of that nature for your faith's sake, to keep the knowledge that will elevate the common man from him, what kind of sacrifice is that? It is an inferior sacrifice. The greatest contribution will be to make the sacrifice of your ambition for God's sake, but also to give the common people the knowledge that you hold. Cain, the rational urge, killed Abel morally upright. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 27 to 31, Abel, Cain. Genesis 4, 15, Cain, whoever killed him gets sevenfold punishment. Bukhari, page 3, 624. Help brother when he's wrong. El Hadith, page 1, 297 to 78. Believer is mirror of believer. So in this religion, we accept that we are our brother's keeper. The book tells us that it is, the Bible tells us, of a son coming from the first man who was made or created, and that son turned his own brother and slew him. And the Bible shows us that the son having to live with the question, should I be my brother's keeper? And the Bible warns the people that if they identify such persons, don't kill him. It says to kill him would be seven times worse than his crime, meaning that the man Cain killed was a moral upright man, a man who was morally motivated. Now, if you kill one who represents the urge for rational understanding in the world, even though the urge for rational understanding has brought the world under misery, brought the world into corruption, misery, and cruelty, we can't slay that peculiar urge in man. We must let it live. But there are some religious orders who say, slay that urge in man, don't they? They say that you are not supposed to apply your rational faculties in their particular religious discipline. So you are to feel your way spiritually and to cut off yourself, separate yourself from the desire to understand rationally. So this is what they tell you. So we know we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, obligated us that if anyone gets a little knock, he doesn't have to be educated. All the people he was teaching were uneducated. Very few educated people were amongst him. They were people from foreign society. So the people he was teaching were not educated people. And if he told them, whoever learns a little bit, he is obligated to pass that little bit into another ignorant person. So we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. If you can't understand it in that high fashion, let me show it to you in the plain, ordinary sense of the word, of holding or protecting your brother in the world. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, told his followers, your brother, whether he is in the wrong or the right. And they asked him, dear messenger of God, prayers and the peace be upon you, how is it is that we should help our brother when he is in the wrong? He said, hold him back from wrong. So we must understand that our religion is not like that religion that says you are not responsible for the behavior of your brother. You are. And in another place, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, says, the Muslim is the mirror for his brother. A mirror will show you your defect if you look at it, if you turn toward the mirror. It is going to show you that which is crooked wrong. Your face is dirty. It's going to show you. If you have any ugly expressions on your face, that mirror is not going to make you look like a sweet dandelion or something. That mirror is going to show you just like you are looking. And if the mirror does not show you the way you are looking, the mirror is wrong. It is warped. But if it is a straight mirror, it shows you just what you are. The only report what we see, and it reports it correctly. So we must understand that. Shouldn't a stronger sister weep? Let us not be any longer victims of this society that synthesizes morally to ignore the weak amongst us, thinking that you can't be responsible for the weak. Everybody has to make it for themselves. Anytime you accept that, you are accepting the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. We don't buy that. Western society brought that, survival of the fittest. And believe me, most of their rulers over us, now that that is their law, survival of the fittest. And they say, hell, let's throw this out there into society. The one who be the one fit, the one that is destroyed, they were not fit to survive. They go by the process of elimination. What do they call it in science? Natural selection. And it means selection by adaptation, and those who cannot adapt, they are destroyed. So thus to divine, the Quran Surah 2, pardon me, the Quran Surah 6, Ayah 2, man created from clay, to divine, three developments, one dust, two desire, three divine. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon his servant and his messenger Muhammad forever. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movements, growth of the person toward fulfillment of the manifestation of divine light. The first growth is called the growth out of the dust or clay. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breatheth into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. When the human child comes into life, it is flesh and blood. But this form is not the beginning of the individual's life. Before that birth, it was existing in its father and mother. This is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth because the father and the mother are of the earth in physical form. Second growth, desire, appetite. So the child then grows out of the dust, earth, into the world of individual life. So this life is called the life of desire, and it is in this term, or growth, that the child develops appetites for different things of creation. So out of the individual life, the individual can grow into the third and the final growth into the world of divine life. The world of divine life could only be called knowledge until the manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today. It was under the influence of falsehood, darkness, and its knowledge was both true and false. The knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. Three wounds of darkness. The human being begins his life in triple darkness. There are three wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds come naturally, but falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevent this knowledge from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. So when we say divine, we don't mean unnatural movement, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come through the three stages of development, or three growth periods, but he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was false. To be born again, he would have to die in his present mind, give up his world and his mind, and be reborn in the right mind. Human growing constantly. So the human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. We are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. divine truth removes falsehood. None of the three groups are movements towards divine. Life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us to form a kind of a trinity of check and balance, but one of the three rules the other two. That is the divine person. Once you come out of the third womb and the third life has been made divine, the pure light of divine truth is, has now come in and remove all falsehood. So in the Genesis, you have a man being made from dust. And then you have a city manifesting from the sky. So the book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. God challenges. Nature shows you that every man, that every life that comes into the world must make its own world. So when you come into the world, you come into a world that is designed to give you birth, but not designed to satisfy your needs. Each life comes in with a different nature. The human life has a human nature whose eyes open to the world and says, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by the Creator. Every creature makes its world. So the divine supreme being gives it a supreme pattern and all the materials needed for making its world. But he himself is not going to make it for you. He gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens your eyes to his great doings. Then he challenges you by telling you your own. So the atom of divine will, the mission, of the Nation of Islam is to first wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. The first thing is to know yourself as the growing and developing life with origin in divine. So we are taught that before the physical world becomes observable by physical observation, there was an atom existing in the dark womb of space. That atom had the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The atom here represents divine will that is manifest by the divine power originally. So we are in the atom of divine will, and the Creator manifests us out of that atom into a physical world form to manifest the divine in us again. All praises are due to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine light. The brilliant light of truth is elevating us with its penetrating rays of light and light to remove the excess of ignorance from our mind. The Nation of Islam is the body Christ, in which you can grow into full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge, untrue guidance. So I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind of Almighty God Allah. The Quran Surah 6 Ayat 2 created man from clay, then another term, Genesis 2, 7, man from dust of ground. Genesis 5, 1 and 2 created he them. So when we are talking about the genesis or the birth of a man, it's habit to refer to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual, but as we continue this reading of Genesis chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that the male and the female created he them and blessed them and called their names Adam, when we understand the creation of the man, in the Bible, Genesis as the making or the forming of a people or a religious community. So humans form by words. But if we understand it, the baby language, the language of allegorical pictures, painting to be interpreted without interpretation. It only is pictures painting for the mind of baby-like people. Lit, what is this, the Bible, is telling us about the creation or the genesis of man or a community that is so important that it is given as a beginning or a genesis of human being. It is this. People don't start to be people until their minds are born, as long as they are not considered people. You can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled, and you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave like and look like animals because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarly, in the so-called same world, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form. But when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. So the human being is a unique and a special kind of a creature. He is not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world, or when he comes physically into adulthood. He only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her. The physical person is like a dead body in the earth without no life. So we find in Genesis a good description of the peculiar human nature. It begins with a description of the human being as clay. Clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into the form that you desire it to be shaped into. If you take clay from it into the form of a person, you don't have a person. You only have a physical image or picture of a person. Genesis tells us that God made that from clay or from the dust of the earth. He formed him and then breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So dust to divine. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 2, man created from clay, from dust to divine. Three developments. One, dust. Two, desire. Three, divine. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon his servant and his messenger, Muhammad, forever. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movement growths of the person towards the fulfillment of the manifestation of divine life. The first growth is called the growth out of dust or clay. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So when the human child comes into life, it is flesh and blood. But this form is not the beginning of the individual's life. Before that birth, it was existing in its father and mother. So this is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth because the father and the mother are of the earth in physical form. Second growth, desire, appetite. The child then grows out of the dust, earth, into the world of individual life. This life is called the life of the desire, and it is in this term of growth that the child develops appetites for different things of creation. Out of the individual life, the individual can grow into the third and final growth into the world of divine life. So the world of divine life could only be called knowledge. until manifestation of the presence of the divine in our midst today. It was under the influence of falsehood, darkness, and its knowledge was both true and false. So the knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. So the three wounds of darkness, the human being, began his life in triple darkness. There are three wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds come naturally, but falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevents from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. So when we say divine, we don't mean unnatural movement, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come through the three stages of development or three growth periods, but he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was false to be born again. He would have to die in his present mind, give up his world and his mind, and be reborn in the right mind. So human growing constantly. The human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. We are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. Divine truth removes falsehood. So none of the three growths or movements toward divine life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us to form a kind of trinity of check and balance. But one of the three rules the other two. That is, the divine person wants to come out of the third womb, and that third life has been made divine. The pure light of divine truth has now come in and removed all falsehood. So in the Genesis, you have a man being made from dust, and then you have a city manifesting from the sky. The book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. God's challenge. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must make its own world. When you come into the world, you come into a world that is designed to give you birth, but not designed to satisfy your needs. So each life comes in with a different nature. The human life has human nature, whose eyes open to the world and says, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by the Creator. Every creature makes its world. The divine supreme being gives it a supreme pattern and all the material needed for making its world. But he himself is not going to make it for you. He gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens up your eyes to his great doings. Then he challenges you by telling you to make your own, the atom of divine will. The mission of the Nation of Islam is to first wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. The first thing is to know yourself as a growing and developed life, a developing life with origin in divine. So we are taught that before the physical world becomes observable by physical observation, there was an atom existing in the dark womb of space. That Adam had the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The Adam here represents divine will that is manifest by the divine power originally. So we were in the Adam of divine will, and the Creator manifested us out of that Adam into a physical world form to manifest the divine in us again. All praise is due to Allah, to Pana with the island. So the light of the truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine light. The brilliant light of truth is elevating us with the penetrating rays of light and light to remove the excess of ignorance from our minds. The Nation of Islam is that body, the body Christ, in which you can grow into a full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge or untrue guidance. I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind of Almighty God, Allah. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 2, created man from clay, then another term. Genesis 2, 7, man from dust of the ground. Genesis 5, 1 to 2, created him then. So we were talking about the Genesis or the birth of man. It's habit to refer to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual. But as we continue this reading of Genesis chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So when he understands the creation of the man, in the Bible, Genesis, as the making of the forming of a people, a religious community, human form by words. But if we understand it in the baby language, the language of allegorical pictures, painting to be interpreted without interpretation. It only pictures painting for the mind of baby-like people. What is this that the Bible is telling us about creation or the genesis of man or a community? So that is so important that it is given as a beginning or a genesis of human beings. It is this people don't start to be people until their minds are born. As long as they are not considered people, you can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled, and you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave and look like animals because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarly, in the so-called same world, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form. But when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. The human being is a unique and a special kind of creature. He's not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world or when he comes physically into adulthood. He's only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her. The physical person is like a dead body in the earth with no life. So we find in Genesis a good description of the peculiar human nature. It begins with a description of the human being as clay. Clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into the form that you desire it to be shaped into. If you take clay from it into the form of a person, you don't have a person. You only have a physical image or picture of a person. So Genesis tells us that God made that from clay or the dust of the earth. He formed him and then breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So human created inside of a human. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 17, Prophet not throw, dust kill, but Allah. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 171, Jesus, Word, and Spirit from God. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 4, God wants Son, he takes from what he created. 40 Hadith, page 118, 38, Allah becomes your seeing, hearing. Masjid Basiba, page 2, 471, 650, Adan companion, vision. So John 13:16, Jesus says, sin not greater than sender. So Jesus, God says it plain in our Quran that he never had a consort or a female mate or a wife, and that he never had children. He only has to create them as he has created those men and all of the men that we have on earth. And actually, he's referring mainly to, as he created man before man, he's referring to prophets mostly. So we believe that God created a person inside of a person. It's a human inside of a human being. That is, a human being is born of a woman in this world. Of flesh, and God can create the human being inside of that flesh. And we believe that Jesus Christ is a creation of God, and we believe that he is the Christ. But we don't believe like the Christians believe, or I should say, like the Christians express themselves or express that belief. Why do I say that? Jesus, close to God, spoke in the first person. I appreciate that God be with us and guide us. Come to understand that Jesus, like many holy men, they can speak. And at the same time they are speaking, they don't recognize themselves. They recognize only God. So they'll be speaking in the first person, and I'm convinced that Jesus was such a person, and he spoke like that. Whenever God took over his presence, then it was not him speaking, but he was speaking only what God was saying to him. And therefore he spoke in the first person, and people took him to be God. Next, soul. Where do I get that understanding from? Where do I stand upon? As Muslim scholars, they say, give me the evidence. In our holy book, God says that he created you from one soul, and of it I made its mate and spread it from the two many men and women. So if this was one, and God made of it a mate, then it says, nafs in wahida, one soul, one person. The Quran, Arabic, peculiarly, self, soul, person, are all the same word, depending on how you use it in the sentence. So in the context that we find at the beginning of man's creation, His nafs is son, not a person, his soul. And what is it saying? It's saying that the human soul, the beginning of human life, human soul, because the body is not the beginning of human life. You go to the jungle, you'll find primitive people not touched by civilization. And their education and their savages, and they lack humanity. They are missing humanity. So the beginning of the humanity, or the beginning of the human person in humanity, is the beginning of that human being in his humanity. And it begins as one soul, and then God causes it to have its mate, the female. And they mate, and they produce, as God says in our holy book, women and men in great numbers. So we know that's not the case anymore with women in great numbers. So most of the scholars, in fact, I have met the exception. I met some very uncomfortable with it, but they wouldn't speak. Most of the scholars readily admit that women are humanly equal to man, that they have the same capacity for intelligence development, for education, and also for assuming roles in society, whether those roles are, their physical bodies can be developed to do what a man does physically. That's what we believe. Not that we want them to do that. We don't want them to do that. we don't think that God intended for them to take on that kind of role in society. The Quran Surah 9, Ayat 1 to 5, the merciful. The Quran Surah 27, Ayat 30, Solomon wrote Shiva Bismillah. The Quran Surah 6, Ayat 94, you will return to us bare and alone. Isaiah 11:6, a child shall lead them. So the ninth chapter, no Bismillah, Hirrahmanirrahim. Baby born 9 months, can't speak, but goes on its nature. Not only for the night of power, but for anything. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and mean it, it has to come from your heart and soul. If it comes from the heart and soul, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting you. There is only one chapter that does not begin that way, and that and know it, it is the ninth chapter, and we are in the womb of our mothers for expected 9 months. And in the ninth month, when the delivery is right, mm-hmm. and the baby is too young to say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So the baby is just going on its nature. So the nature that God created in it and is supporting it. Now, there are some old guys like me who are all still babies in our nature and supports us, as we do not have it up here, not yet. And a lot of us die never getting up there. So we are one, as long as we have good intentions, we are in God's will and in his spirit, and we are part of his revelation. So it is not given in the beginning. That means no one spoke it outside of the context or outside of the text or the context. But when you get into the body of that surah, God found a way to give it to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So he is there, and it is not serving the purpose that the Bismillahirrahmanirrahim serves in the whole of the Quran for what was 113 surah or chapter. So it is inside, right? So what is it saying? When God put it inside there, inside of that one did not have it reach his conscience. It was inside of his nature. So his own nature represents Bismillah, pardon me. His own nature respects Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So Muslim Bismillah inscribed in our nature, yet not in our conscience. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not saying it with his mouth when he is innocent inside of his own nature. It's Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inscribed many things upon our nature. They are not in our conscience. They work in our nature. Everyone is a Muslim, but it is not in his conscience yet. So when he is born, but it is in his nature. It is beautiful. And by means in the name of the king or in the name of the people. What is it saying? He is saying, whenever I am doing, it is owing to the fact that I am authorized by the people of this, is authorized by the king. So when we say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, that is exactly what we are saying. Whatever we are engaging or whatever we are getting into here, it is authorized by our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our God who is merciful, beneficent, a benefactor, pardon me, and merciful redeemer. Now, what is this saying? Is that your own nature knows it's the benefactor, and it is going to be redeemed. It knows its redeemer. It knows the mercy of its Lord. It does not claim anything for itself. It just obeys in the law and the will of God. So it is already performing as though it is saying, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Now I feel like doing the buck dance on top of the table. Kadira. Cow, chew, cud. It's from it. Now the Kadira. You know they say that the cow chews the cud. I believe they got from Kadira, from Al-Islam, from Quran. Cut for the cow is, it has reference to a second stomach. The cow eats, and when it's finished eating, it will chew again what it swallowed. And when it does that, it is chewing the cud. So I do believe that cud and kadira go together. That the English people, when they brought that word into their language, they got it from Al-Islam. From the Quran, the kadira chewing the cud. Now later to kidra, not kadira. So this is the one like I am associating with cud from the cow. Tahira runs man at pardon me. Tahira runs man at Fashira. So the night of power is better than 1,000 months. Then it goes on to describe what is coming down. What happens on that night, right? Better than 1,000 months. Means it's better than the containing man's behavior under a cold system. 1,000 months, one of the translators doing his commentary said it means it is better than a lifetime, because most people do not live over 1,000 months, pardon me. So it is like the life expectancy, longevity, expectancy. Now, I do not have any problem with that. It is a good translation. An excellent translation, but I think when it says it is better than 1,000 months, it means it is better than the whole duration of your schemes to contain man's behavior under a cultural system. 3 months is a shift, is a season, culture used to control the masses. Thousands, men, is full life has been lived. So 3 months is a season, and 4 times 3 is a whole year. Now, usually, they work just upon a year. So these cultures work to hold us for a year. They get us in the summer and put us in the winter, and then put us in the spring, and then back again to summer. So that is how they rotate us to govern us and keep our behavior under them. So now that is just 12 months, but this is better than 1,000 months. So in the Arabic language system, this is not ordinary language. This is exotic language system. Exotic language system. The language that has to be translated, that's why I'm stumbling with it, in order for you to understand and get the real meaning in that 100 means, when it's complete itself. Once it completes itself, it's full, life has been lived. So after 1,000, it dies, not after 12 months. So in the Bible, it talks about a year with God is not the same as a year. Your years are short. Your years are 12 months. And when God is talking about a year, don't think that it means 12 months. Your years is short. That is all it is saying. A year with God is much longer than a year with man. So the first shall be last, and the spirit life was first. Now it's last. The Quran Surah 10, Ayat 14. You inherit land to test your conduct. The Quran Surah 30, Ayat 20. Allah made man from the dust. Matthew 20:16, the first shall be last, then first. So scripture says, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And it also says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What was first? The human being. Was a spiritual life first? Society tells us this, not just scripture. You study the history of development, society, and history of mankind, or the communities of people, and you will find that the first leaders were spiritual leaders. And in so-called primitive societies right now, their chief leader is a spiritual leader. So they have not changed from the old baby order of society for mankind. Still in that baby stage where their spiritual leaders is their chief over the president or whatever. He is the chief. He is the boss. And they live in the backwoods of South America and somewhere, or on the sands of some desert somewhere. So whenever they are in caves there or whatever, they are under a seaman or a spiritual leader, a witch doctor or something, because the spiritual life is the first life, and the leadership that form for that life is the first leadership. It says the first shall be last. Now look at the modern industrial world. What is first? Commercial life. Right now, the first life is commercial life. So what is it going to take Bush out or keep him in? So the war in Iraq, you might say. How we vote on his performance and how he let the war in Iraq affect our vote. Some of you will say that, and that is true. But what is it at base in the interest to stay in Iraq? It is democracy, or is it oil? And control for the dollars, putting Bush down. Economic interest is very important, extremely important. I'm not saying that to criticize him. I'm saying that to keep the eyes open while I talk. As the brother said, talk. I like to speak, but he says talk. That's okay. I think I know where he's coming from. It's beautiful. Well, he doesn't mean that talk that has to walk. He is talking about real talk. Allah made man from dust to be an industrialist. Allah made man from the dust. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The last for man was industry. He came as a spiritual life and then got engaged, turned on his brain to his environment and understood that his life needed to mate with his physical environment to produce wealth, to produce the comfort his wife wanted, etc. So he engaged the physical environment, and in time he became an industrialist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's man, when he created him to be an industrialist. When God says that he made man from the dust, he means that he means to tell you that you are made of material that needs development, and your destiny is to go from dust to industry. Dust things not adhering. So dust is not adhering. Dust is not staying together. So the least little wind can blow the members apart and send them floating in the air. But if the dust will receive moisture and become germinated, after moisture or the germ, it is be germinated by moisture and feeds on the sun and on the air and on the things that are in the ground and water. It can live again to support life. Plant small and big and see industry develop and grows. So the industry comes from the thing that the earth grows. That is how it gets industry. So Quran Surah 11, Ayah 7, throne was on the water, sea water. So this is man's sensitivity of the intellect and the soul. Water is a body that is very sensitive. The only time it loses that is when it's frozen. The sensitivity is necessary to get life started. So if people are insensitive, you can't begin to establish them in an order directed life governed by society. Most unestablished people are those who have grown insensitive, dry of the water of human feeling. So Quran Surah 11, Ayah 7, throne was on the water. Dear beloved people, understand that. And Allah says that his throne was first established on the water. Isn't that what Allah says in this book? You who read it. That his throne was first established on the water. What does that tell us? That those who have formed the principle of pure faith, pure spiritual faith, to a principle of social order and development, still your salvation is faith. It was established on the water, and water is still needed on the land. For a land without water is called what? In the Quran, a dead land. Is that not right? It is a dead land. And we know that for a fact, yes. Salakallahu Dazeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow, inshallah. It only means that it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. Also, I want to say this. We should make prayer for those in the storm victims. And if we can do more to help them, we should. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. As I greet you in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.
Mm.